Now listening to The Crossover with Abigail.
Can't believe it's you. I can't believe it's happening.
It is 10 past the hour of 4 o'clock. A very good afternoon to you and you and you. Well, you were listening to the sounds of Faith Evans on this one that is titled Kissing You. And before this one, the late Whitney Houston and Cece Winans. I hope I pronounced it correctly. Also came through with the song that is titled Count on Me. So it is a very beautiful Sunday. It's warm. You know, I am jealous when I'm talking to people back home and they are telling me that rain is falling nonstop, you know, and I'm like, but why is this rain not raining in the capital city of Namibia? What is going on? What is wrong? Who did we wrong? What did we do wrong? You know, but on the other hand, I'm like, okay, it's a good thing because, either way, as much as we also need the rain in Windhoek, you know, we don't need it as much as the people back home because the people back home, they plowed, some they are still plowing. So they really need this rain to, you know, to fall nonstop so that the food can grow. I remember having this conversation on my Silozi show. I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday, one of these days where I got in a taxi and I had a conversation with a taxi driver. We were talking about the rain, right? And he was like, I like the fact that the rain is raining back home because, you know, people back home when it's raining and they harvest, they also don't bother us who are here in the city in terms of asking for aid, sending money on a monthly basis. It's up to you to probably just send something for cooking oil and salt or maybe relish as well. But when rain falls, you know, back at the villages back home, it is a good thing because people harvest, you know, even the natural spinach, right? It also grows so people can harvest it and dry it. So there's really no hunger. So somehow I'm like, okay, it's fine. It is, you know, not raining in the capital as much as, but one thing I know is that Windhoek rain, it usually falls in February, from February to March, April. Yes. So if it reaches May, then we should know that we are in trouble in terms of winter. But yeah, so it is the 18th of January, 2026. There's something about this month that is, you know, it's surprising me. It's really flying. If somebody out there feels like January is taking time to go, I don't know which space you are in, but this month is really, really flying and it's amazing. So today we have a lovely conversation. We do have a guest who will be joining me, on the show. She is not a stranger. She has been here before. So yeah, she will be joining the conversation. And for those who follow us on social media, you have seen what the conversation is about today on the crossover. So if you are not following us on social media, please do so. Do follow us on social media, right? So before I get into what we are discussing today, let me just remind you guys about this particular service that we offer as a media house. We have an outside broadcasting van. Right? So this van, you know, if you have an event that you'd like to stream right here on radio or on our social media platforms, so this is where this outside broadcasting van comes in the picture, right? So this outside broadcasting van, I call it a studio on the wheels, right? Because it is basically a fully fledged studio. So if you have an event or if you have anything that you'd like to stream to a larger audience, we are available for that particular service. All you need to do is contact our marketing team And of course, a team will be availed and come to you wherever you are in the country or outside the country for this particular service, right? So don't hesitate. We do have the numbers. We do have the audience. That's for sure. So if you are looking for an audience to send a message to, we are your go-to person. And do not hesitate to contact us in that particular service. So it is quarter past the hour of 4 o'clock. Let me just wish those ones who are born today happy birthday to you guys. I hope you enjoy it to the fullest. I know it's on a Sunday, but regardless, it is a special day and it only comes once in a year. So make sure you enjoy it, please. Yes. Let's just avoid, you know, having Sunday sessions on Sunday. Don't have a Sunday session in the name of it is your birthday. No, colleagues, no. I am one person who is against, you know, having Sunday sessions because they really, really take away from our productivity, come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, unless if you are 20 something, if you are in your 20s, well, go for it. But if you are in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s and upwards, stay away from Sunday sessions because there is nothing good that comes out of a Sunday session, unfortunately. It only exhausts you, right? Yeah, because speaking from experience, I can tell you a lot about Sunday sessions and why they are just not a good thing. But I'm not going to get into that. That is not the discussion for today. So today we are going to talk about, you know, returning to work from holidays. I know I have been mentioning this particular, you know, statement. I think I'm going to call it a statement. I've been mentioning this particular statement so many times, both on the crossover as well as both on Sizuma. I've been talking about, you know, we don't talk so much about the exhaustion that we come with from the holidays, you know. And you now have to get into the work. I don't want to call it the work format. I don't know how I'm going to call it, but okay, you are coming from holiday and then you get right into, you know, back to work. So this can actually be very tiring, if that's the correct word that I can use. It can really be tiring. It can be exhausting. Because getting back into the swing of things after the holiday season, this is a universal struggle. A lot of us struggle with this particular struggle, right? A lot of us. I remember, I think this year it's actually much better for me. I'll explain why I'm saying it's much better for me, because I remember the year that was really a struggle to get back into, you know, the routine of, work was January 2025, right? January 2025 was so exhausting. If that's the correct word, it was really exhausting. It was draining because I didn't understand what was happening. And I think it was the first time I was experiencing, you know, this, universal struggle of, you know, getting back, to work after the holiday season. I don't know why I only experienced it like January 2025. I'm not sure why, but yes, maybe it's because I had a very long holiday, December 2024. So probably this is why it really felt like, yo, I don't know when I am going to get back in shape in terms of the routine of going to work. But yeah. So it is a very universal struggle that a lot of us struggle with, looking at the fact that January is still holidays. So other people are still on holiday. And obviously when they come back to this routine, they are going to experience this struggle. So we are going to have a conversation based on this. And of course, we'll also touch on tips on how you can just try to assist yourself, your body, your mind, to get back into the routine of getting back to work after a holiday, right? Because, you know, a lot of us experience post-holiday syndrome. It's not all of us. Some of us experience a post-holiday syndrome. You know, you come back to work and there's so many things to do. You find a mountain of emails. You don't even know where to start. Or some of us struggle with waking up, early morning because now you are coming from a holiday. And we all know what happens in holidays, right? The sleeping schedule, completely changes. So this affects you when you come back to work because now you have to go back to the routine that you are used to instead of the routine that you adjusted yourself to during the holidays. So when we talk about post-holiday syndrome, so this is something a lot of us experience after holidays, right? You can't just explain it, but you feel like something is not normal here. Right? So it is post-holiday syndrome. I don't know why my throat is trying to, let me quickly try to clear my throat and then I'll be back.
Lipurane ngeno wapogwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi minawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu omafilane Eagle FM.
Yes, so I had to drink some water. So we continue. I was on the part of post-holiday syndrome that a lot of us, we usually experience emotions that are not normal after the holiday and you are like, what is going on? This is not normal. So post-holiday syndrome or blues is a temporary mix of mental and physical symptoms. And these symptoms can be like, you know, feeling tired all the time or having a low mood. You know, you're just not in the mood of anything. You also experience anxiety and a lack of motivation after the holiday. So all of these emotions, all of these things that I am mentioning here, they are caused by the sudden shift back to routine, right? Back to work stress, back to the calm down from holiday excitement. So these effects, you know, they can last from days to a couple of weeks. So this is going to be my third week back to work, right? I started work on the 5th. I started work on the 4th. Yes. Yes. The 4th of January, I started work. So I was here. I was on air. And I remember this Sunday. This Sunday was just not the one, to be honest. It was, it was not the one. So this is going to be my third week. You know, back to the routine. Post holiday. And, I don't know how I will feel during this week because the first week was a real struggle. And of course, the second week was somehow in between, you know, struggling and also coping. So I'm waiting to see how it will, you know, how it will actually you know, go. I am really looking forward, to this week to see how it goes. So there is a lot of struggle when it comes to, you know, returning to work from the holidays. My guest is here. Let me just quickly step out and, go fetch her. I'm going to collect her. I'll leave you with the sounds of Aretha Franklin. This one that is titled It Hurts Like Hell.
Something wonderful to me, to watch it grow inside yourself, to feel your heart beside itself. Sometimes it hurts to love so bad, when you know you've given all you can. Sometimes it hurts to even ask. You do your best, but still it's much to say. Sometimes the pain is just too much. Oh, and it hurts like hell. That's the way it feels. True love, it has no hiding place. It's not something you just put away.
Aretha Franklin on this one that is titled It Hurts Like Hell. Definitely this one is going out to all the lovers out there tuning to us. You know, this day is their day, and we respect that. We do respect that. Like I mentioned, that we do have a guest. She is not, you know, she's not a stranger on the show. I think we can now call her family of the crossover. Yes, I think we can just acknowledge that. That's how many times she has been part of the show. So allow me to welcome her on the show. I don't know which mic is that one.
Hi.
Speak.
Hi.
Oh, it's this one. Hi. Hello, Ellie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Abigail? I'm so happy to be back. You know, hello to the audience. I hope they missed me.
Definitely. I'm sure they missed you. That's for sure. I'm also glad to have you here. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man. Like 2026.
Yes.
Doesn't it just sound like it's going to be a big year?
I don't know.
You don't know? You're not so confident about this year.
Okay. Somehow I have, you know, because usually they say when it starts on a bad note, mm-hmm. that means it's going to end on a good note.
Oh.
Yes.
So when, it started on a bad note for you.
Very much, you know, very, very much. So I'm really hopeful that it will end on a good note.
I'm so sorry to hear that, Abigail.
Yes.
No, I know it's going to end on a good note.
Yes. I also have that feeling that it is definitely going to end on a good note because there is no way it can start on a bad note and end on a bad note.
No, no. God forbid, right?
Yes. I refuse. I rebuke. So remember we were supposed to have a show, just to close off 2025. Unfortunately, that couldn't happen, but why?
Why? I don't know. I think, India fatigue, right? Like, I'm going to blame India fatigue and I'm going to say, you know what? We decided to start fresh in the new year.
Yeah, no, India fatigue is a problem. And I think what we are discussing today is, familiar to, you know, India fatigue. Mm-hmm. I remember there's a colleague of mine who I just can't recall how she named these feelings that we are discussing today. I think she said it was, did she say it's, New Year fatigue.
Yes, I've heard people all over social media calling it year start fatigue.
Yes, year start fatigue. That is the correct word. It's year start fatigue. And honestly speaking, you know, a lot of people rather have conversations about end year fatigue.
Yeah.
And not conversations that are, you know, surrounding, you know, the start year fatigue.
True.
And this is something that we all experience. I was talking about the start year fatigue that I experienced January 2025, it was, I couldn't explain it. I remember I even asked my colleague that I don't know what's going on there, but I'm just struggling.
Wow.
To wake up, you know, to keep up my energy levels. They are just off. And he was like, no, don't worry. You'll come around. Just give it time. This is okay. Is it normal? I was like, no, it's normal. You were on a holiday because my holiday for 2024 was so long.
I see.
Yes, my holiday, it was so long. And I think this is why the experience this year is totally different because my holiday was not long and my sleeping schedule didn't even change.
Wow.
Yes.
That's impressive.
Mm-hmm. That's my sleeping schedule didn't change. The time I woke up, I used to wake up did not change as well. So probably this is why I'm like, okay, it's much better. It's
so,
still there.
Okay.
It's definitely much better compared to the experience that I had, 2025. So how was your holiday?
Wow. My holiday was incredible. I have to say, you know, I got to do a little bit of everything. I got to connect with family, spend time with friends. I got to reset and, you know, just kind of try my best to set myself up for this year. So I have to say that I'm very optimistic about the year. I don't know if I'm going to be one of those people who are going to like hit the ground running or if I'm going to like kind of slowly ease into it. I'm trying to slowly ease into it because I feel like it's more sustainable. But I think everyone that's listening now can probably relate to what you just spoke about in terms of feeling like you have year start fatigue. Things just feel off. You really get to that point where you're even Googling, is this normal?
Yes.
Is this level of tiredness normal? I slept and I woke up and I still feel tired, right?
You know, yeah.
So we're going to get into that today and I'm very excited.
Yeah, definitely. And also one thing I love about you know, the conversation that we are going to have today is that I know a majority, if not everyone, is going to relate to this conversation.
Absolutely.
That's for sure. Because unless if you didn't go on holiday, then I'm sure you might not relate to this conversation. But if you went on holiday, and also the other thing that I usually tell people at home is that when we come for holidays, we come to rest, guys.
Yes. We don't come to work and plow the fields.
No. They will not understand that at all. They will not. They will make sure that you guys wake up so early in the morning.
Exactly.
You go work the fields. You do what. So there's no rest. Now when you come back, you are even more tired.
Absolutely.
Than when you went on holiday.
I think as like African, you know, nationals and as people who know what the culture is, I think we should normalize having two types of holiday, right? So you can have the holiday where you go home and you help out in the fields and you do all the work, but like set some time aside for yourself, even if it's a weekend or a week earlier where you come back and you just have an actual reset, because I don't really believe that kind of holiday is rest, right?
No, it's not.
Absolutely.
These holidays that we have and we go to the north, these are not holidays. I even remember telling my father in a jokingly manner. Is that English?
Yeah, jokingly manner. I don't know if it is. I'm not really the grammar expert here, but it sounds about right.
Yes. So I remember telling my father that I think, when I get, you know, to a point where I can afford to fly out and go on holidays, I don't think I'll be coming to your village.
Absolutely.
I'll be coming here. And then he was like, yeah, as long as you make sure that we are sorted out, I don't think you would mind even if you don't show up. I was like, okay.
Oh, wow. So here you have it. You got the permission that you needed.
Yes.
You can start prioritizing yourself and go home when you actually want to go
home.
Yes.
As long as you make sure that they are sorted out, their Christmas is sorted out, New Year is sorted out, you can go wherever you want to go. I was like, okay, I can't wait to get there. You know, you guys
one
will
day
forget. Definitely. You guys will just be like, oh, she does not even come for holidays anymore. We just see her one day and she goes back.
Then they start saying, no, we only see her on social media these days. Like, we don't really see her in real life anymore. She no longer comes to the village. And
no,
whole time Abigail used to be a village champion. Now
she's retired. You should see me when I'm at home, Ellie. You should see me when I'm at the village. You're not going to believe this is Abigail. Like, I really become a village buddy. Like, I just really get into the village thing. So definitely when I'm over that, people are, I don't know, they'll be like, I don't think she even, you know, considers the fact that she has a village and parents. They are not going to understand the fact that I used to live that life and I enjoyed
it.
So I'm done. I'm done.
Exactly.
Yes.
I do what's best for you. This year, I think that's our mantra, right? Like,
yes,
we need to do what's best for us to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm. Now let's get right into our conversation for today. We are talking about, you know, getting back to work after the holidays.
Yes, ma'am.
So this is going to be my third week.
Wow.
Back to work.
You've been back to work quite early. Or maybe I'm just like the one that's late here. I think I'm the only one who's actually going into work next week only. I don't know. Maybe it's only people who work in academia that can relate to having such a long holiday. But yeah, like, this conversation is for me because I'm also going to be learning from this conversation for what to do and what not to do next
Getting
week.
Back into the routine. I feel so pity for you, to be honest, because the first week,
girl,
always shows you like,
it shows you flames. Hey?
You're like flames. You can't even explain it.
Don't scare me. Okay. Like, I'm going to go to bed.
But I'm
today.
Sure you're already used to, you know, to the study of fatigue.
I am. However, it always like hits you differently. You know, I feel like every year it changes slightly.
Yes,
so there are some years where you just have really extreme fatigue and tiredness. Mm-hmm. And there are other years where you don't really feel that fatigue so much, but you can feel that your brain feels slower. Like, you're not really catching things as fast as you used to. Mm-hmm. So there's like different variations of it. So I'm not sure what I'm going to experience this year. But either way, after this conversation, I'm going to be ready for it.
Well, so what are you looking forward to for this work year, 2026?
Wow. Like I said, I think 2026 is a big year for me and I'm sure for many other people as well. So what I look forward most to, honestly, is nothing specific. Like, it's not an occasion. It's not an event. It's not even a work goal per se, but it's just like knowing that I have a fresh start. Like, how refreshing is that, knowing that, yes, I had all these goals and I achieved them last year, but now I have a fresh start. I can start, you know, planning new goals and I can achieve even more and I can build on what I did last year and the years before. I think that fresh start is also just refreshing for your mind, because really it's out with the old and in with the new mentalities. You're adopting new and better habits. I've learned so much over the holidays about myself, about, you know, how to be more productive. And, you know, you're just looking forward to putting those things into action, right?
Yes.
So that's me. I'm really just looking forward to whatever this year brings and just embracing what that will be. And just treating it like what it is, which is a fresh start.
Yeah. Also something else that I've been, or maybe I was waiting for the holidays to team a bit. I don't know if I mentioned this to you that people have been saying, or I've been hearing that people are confused about this particular show because of the name of the show. So what I'm looking forward to this year is, you know, maybe coming up with a proper name.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. You don't like the crossover?
I love the crossover. But now the problem is that people mistake, like they mistake the name of the show with a religious show.
Oh, because it's on Sunday or?
Yes. So I remember sometime last year when I had, a guest. And, one of her listeners was like, wow, it is a really nice show. And I didn't know, because he just judged the show based on the name of the show. He was like, I don't have time for this.
So I'm assuming this is not a very religious person. Yes. And he saw crossover and he thought crossover, like, Passover. It kind of sounds kind of religious.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that. I hear that.
So that really didn't, you know, kind of like make me feel some type of way about the show name until when my housemates, I remember we were talking about gospel music and I was like, we don't play gospel music, on Eagle FM.
Wow.
And they were like, what do you do on your show?
Your show.
I was like, what do you mean? What do I do on my show? They were like, no, but your show is a religious show. I was like, no, I need to do something. So I'm going to ask help from the listeners, the participants, like you guys, the guests, in terms of if we are renaming the show.
Yes.
What are we going to rename it?
Maybe like, yeah, I think I'm so interested to hear what the listeners are going to say. Cause I feel like they know the show better than you and I know the show. Mm-hmm. And I do hear the perspective of it sounding a bit religious.
Yes.
But I feel like the crossover just sounded right. Like, you know, crossing over into new week.
The week, you know, from the previous week, from the weekend. So I don't know. Probably maybe we should have a part where we explain the name show.
I think so. Somewhere. Like, make sure that people are aware that this is for preparing you for a new year, for a new week. It's really all about, you know, all things productivity, all things lifestyle. And that's really what we talk about here. And I think it's a necessary rebrand. I mean, it is 2026. So I think we can listen to what the audience wants from us and we can rebrand accordingly.
I think I'll come up with a poll.
Yes.
I'll come up with the poll and see.
Yes.
How that will come about.
I'm in complete agreement. I'm actually excited. Maybe next time I come back here, it's going to be called something different.
So what is the gold standard, morning routine for a first week back, like especially for you? Let me rather tailor this question for you. What is going to be a gold standard morning routine for you the first week when you get back to work?
Okay. Because golden standard is going to be different for everybody, right? So this is just what you consider as ideal, what you think is going to get you the best outcomes or, you know, the best returns on your time, right? So for me, I feel like a golden standard morning routine is one that kind of has a balance of a number of things, right? Mm-hmm. So one, even before the morning routine, I would want to have gotten enough rest, right? Mm-hmm. And science tells us time and time again, at least 8 hours of sleep a night, right? Mm-hmm. 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. Mm-hmm. So that's what I want to first ensure. I want to ensure that I have a consistent night routine and sleep routine so that every morning when I wake up at the same time, I go to sleep at the same time and I've gotten enough rest, right? Mm-hmm. So that's number one. So once I've gotten that out of the way, you want to include some lifestyle related stuff. So, right, you want to get a good breakfast, which is different for everybody. Like some people want to have a light meal. They maybe just want to have a few fruits. They want to eat a cereal or have, you know, whatever it is that you envision as a high energy meal for you, then you have that, right? Mm. Another thing would then be making sure that you have some fitness incorporated. And I know this is difficult for a lot of us. I know.
Me included.
But it's literally scientifically proven that having some form of physical activity helps your energy level. So what you want to do is, even if it's a morning stretch, right? Even if it's light cardio, it doesn't have to be long. It can be 5 to 10 minutes. That energizes you so much for the day that you're going to be able to go longer before you feel tired. So that's what you want to do. Make sure you've gotten great food. Make sure you have a physical activity. And you know what? One last thing that I'll add, especially because I am one of those people that experience really bad end year fatigue. So last year, at the end of the year, I found myself, you know, at that point where I'm like, I'm so tired all the time. I need to start researching, like, what is going to help me improve this level of fatigue, right? And one of the things that I discovered is that sunlight is also very important, right?
Really?
Yes. So I started to incorporate this into my morning routine late last year. So what I do is I try my best to make sure that I've gotten up early. And even if I have to do this for the first portion of the time when I get into the office, whenever I can sneak in even 2 minutes or 5 minutes of that morning sunlight, it really helps me stay energized for much longer, because it helps your brain register that, okay, it's daytime now. It's no longer nighttime. It changes your brain chemicals that are usually used for night. For example, I'm sure some of the listeners might know about like things like melatonin, which is what helps you sleep, right? So the moment you don't actually get natural light in the mornings, your brain sometimes doesn't register that it has to lower those melatonin levels in order not to make you tired. So it sounds like something that is so simple, but literally just incorporating that into your morning routine, just going outside for those quick 2 minutes, it's a game changer, I have to say.
Wow.
So that's my golden standard morning routine.
Probably I should try it.
You should.
And see how it will work out.
I really would. Anyone who's listening that has struggled with fatigue, just that one thing has changed a lot. So yes, I still experience the fatigue. It's not like a quick fix, but it delays the time by which I feel tired every day. Yes.
Wow. Guys, I hope you are listening. I hope you are taking notes. Hey, we are here to help one another.
Absolutely.
So if someone feels like they want to quit their job the moment they sit at their desk, is that a holiday hangover or a sign of bigger issues?
Wow, the word holiday hangover just sounds crazy to me. So I will have to say this, right? I think that a lot of us, after we go for holidays, some of us forget that we were once employed and that we have responsibilities at work. And so a lot of us, you know, we get used to that leisure, you know, that luxury of being at home, deciding what to do with your time and, you know, just being in that mood. But I think the moment you come back to work, what happens is that you get what you call like holiday blues, right? So when you're back to work after a long holiday, or even sometimes after a short holiday, you just feel like blue. You feel under the weather. You feel like, you know what? Maybe this job is not actually for me. You know what? Maybe I'm not cut out for this. Maybe I'm actually meant to be a business person,
a housewife.
Maybe this is the lifestyle for me, but it's usually just very temporary. It's usually just because your brain has been rewired during the time that you were away. And it takes a little bit of time for you to get back into the swing of things. So I would say, if you experience that, understand that it's probably just a passing phase. Try your best to reintegrate into your work. But the moment that it's persisting for much longer, like you are in your third week of being back to work. And I feel like by this time you should be able to be over the holiday blues and slowly but surely getting back into the rhythm of things. So if it's been a month, 2 months, 3 months, and you still feel like, yo, I don't know why I come to work every day, then maybe you should start getting worried. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because also what I can just add on what you just said now, based on the experience that I've had like the past 2 weeks. I remember the first week it was very difficult, you know, to just like wake up. I hear the alarm, I snooze. And you know that snoozing, I remember I've had this conversation right here on the crossover that it's bad for your brain.
Yes.
To sleep, wake up.
Absolutely.
It's terrible. The first week I struggled with that. And then the second week, it almost started off the same way. But then I was like, okay, it's not going to end if I keep feeding it, right? Because it's like you are feeding it and then it's not going to end.
Yeah.
this thing of when the alarm goes off, I snooze it, and then I wake up the time that I feel like, okay, maybe I can wake up now. So by the time I get to work, it's like, it's late.
Mm.
You know, I'm not even bothered, by the way.
Imagine.
So I had to, you know, tell myself that we need to stop feeding this thing because it's not going to go away. It's
Absolutely.
Just supposed to be a phase, and a phase is not supposed to stay longer than a few weeks.
Exactly.
If it goes longer than a month, I think a month is even a long
time. It's a long time.
Probably 2 weeks max.
If
it goes longer than that, then that is an issue.
I think 2 weeks is a really good starting point,
yes.
right? If anything, especially when it relates to you integrating into something new or something that you haven't done for a while, 2 weeks ideally. By that point, you should already start to feel much better. If you don't, then you really need to have a serious conversation with yourself about what you're going to need to change in order for it to get better.
Yeah, that's why I was even saying that I'm really looking forward to this week. This is going to be the third week. So I'm really looking forward. But I realized that last week was much better.
Mm.
There was no struggle with the alarm. You know, when the alarm rings, I just... Okay, I stay there a bit just
I don't to compose yourself.
Yes. I just compose myself and tell myself, okay, we need to wake up now, and then I wake up.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was much better. So I'm really looking forward to see how the body, the mind, you know, psychologically, physically, we have really, really tried to move past the start year fatigue.
Yeah.
So why is it biologically and psychologically so difficult to return to a routine after just a week or two off, to be honest?
So there's a lot, honestly, you know, there's kind of a lot that's playing against us in terms of biology. And I say playing against us because that's what makes it more difficult for us to get back to the routine.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've all heard this, but the way that the human body works, and this is like based on, you know, evolution. So this is how even our earlier ancestors functioned, is that our biology and our brains are naturally quite lazy, right?
Mm.
Their default is to use as little energy as possible.
Yes.
So what happens is when you go on holiday, your brain quite literally rewires for a little while. So it gets used to that comfort, that leisure of being able to take things slow and not having to think at maximum capacity and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so once you get used to that, your brain wants to stick to that because, like I said, evolutionary wise, that's our natural default.
Yes.
So when you're back to work and you're thinking, you know what, I'm just going to hit the ground running. It's a breeze. I've done this for 10 years. I just took a 3 week break.
Mm-mm.
Your brain is still in that relaxation mode. So it needs time to reintegrate into the routine that you were used to.
Mm.
So everything from your hormones to your brain chemistry, all of that changes quite significantly just over that little time. And it really requires a little bit of time for you to get back into it. It's just like when you do a workout, for example.
Yeah.
A lot of us, I'm sure, we aspire to do more workouts this year. I'm sure Ooh. Some of our buddies have already started in the gym, you know,
yes,
with the goals
have.
For the year.
They
but
have.
When you're starting off, you obviously need to start off every single time with a warm up. It doesn't matter how fit you are, how, you know, big your muscles are and how much strength you have.
Mm-hmm.
Each and every time you take a break or you're off from working out, you need to come back and you need to do a warm up or something, some stretches, something to tell your body that, okay, I'm getting ready to do hard work or I'm getting ready to get back into it. And that's the same thing with your brain. So that's exactly how your biology works overall. So I think everyone should not, it's kind of unrealistic to expect that you're going to come back from a holiday and be the way that you were. Cause like I said, your body will tell you no.
We don't do that.
We don't do that here.
And you know, funny enough, people only take like longer holidays once in a year.
Yes.
You know, but how our brains, like you are explaining, our brains, our bodies really react after this holiday. It's amazing.
Mm.
I've never quite understood why. Probably I should try to find out so I can understand as to why. But I always ask myself this question as in terms of we only take a longer holidays once in a year.
Mm-hmm.
But how come every time when we return from this holiday, because these holidays, they are even not longer than the time we are at work.
Exactly. You know,
I could probably just give an example of saying you work 11 months, January to November.
Yes.
Because I don't think the breaks in between there, they really count.
For some people. Yes. You know, we have different work lifestyles. But for most people, yes.
Teachers.
You know, exactly.
Teachers. Those people, they really, really, they live a luxury life.
They say they're the government's favorites.
Yes, they are. And you know, I heard that they are going back to the 3 terms thing.
Wow.
Yes. So must they are now nice. Going back to the 3 holidays. Yeah. So that's what I usually ask in terms of, okay, so you are at work 11 months and then let me just say you take this 1 month off as a holiday. But then when you come back, it feels like you were on holiday for 11 months and you just worked for 1 month.
Exactly. Because your brain, to be honest, like the work that we do is, especially in this world that we're in, is usually quite complex.
Mm.
And I think I've read this somewhere and I don't want to quote because I'll probably misquote myself, but
yeah.
I basically read somewhere that, we are solving problems that are at the complexity of, you know, a very high level of complexity.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that our brains have evolved is quite slowly. So it's like, I almost want to equate it to you solving problems and your everyday work and lifestyle experience is like at the level of an adult.
Mm-hmm.
But you basically have the brain of a toddler in a sense. That's kind of how I want to relate it. So the way that our brains work is not as at the same level as the problems that we solve, the lives that we love and everything that we're experiencing on an everyday basis. So that is part of why it's so much easier for your brain to reset to like deciding to do low energy things.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like you work for that 1 month and you've been on holiday for the 11 months because it's your brain and your body's like rest state. That's where it prefers to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think it's something that's interesting. And I feel like we could always go back to the science of it and really kind of see what is it exactly that's making it this way. Maybe you and I can even invent a solution, you know, like we're going to start like, I don't know, electrolyte drink, but it's not going to be electrolyte. It's going to be something like we add a chemical that allows you to return back to your natural, like working
just like that.
Stamina. Yeah, just like that, you know, let's do it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. That's a business idea, you know, and if somebody's listening out there, please do not steal our business idea here.
Yes, we need to trademark it.
Yes. So many people feel guilty, you know, for being unproductive during their first week back. Which I didn't, to be honest. I did not.
Wow. I think you are advanced. Really.
No, like I said, you know, the start year fatigue that I experienced 2025,
man. Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Compared to this one for 2026. So would you actually advise people to, you know, hit the ground running when they get back to work?
No. Or not? No, I think I even just said this literally a few minutes ago.
Yes, yes.
As I was speaking, and I say, yes, there are some people who are able to hit the ground running. Like, there's always going to be outliers.
I think these are workaholics.
Yes, workaholics.
Or maybe people who are dating their colleagues.
Please excuse Abigail. No, so there are some people, maybe they just naturally enjoy work or they have a higher mental stamina than some of us, but there are people who can do that. But for the most part, for most of us, we cannot hit the ground running.
Mm.
We need slow productivity to ease us into the year because I think it's the most realistic thing and it's the most sustainable thing. Because I can imagine if you were to start off the year on like high power mode, you're trying to, you know, solve all the world's problems in that first week that you're back. It's not going to be sustainable. It's only a matter of weeks before you feel tired again because you are just exerting yourself way too much after having such a long break or even a short break. So I would usually advise that, you know, you take time to gradually get back into the productivity because I think that really helps the long-term performance. And obviously this will look different for everybody. We all have different appetites for work. Some people have more stamina, some people have less. So it's just about knowing what does that look like for you.
Yeah.
For some people, maybe starting slowly means like, you know, doing what most of us can't, which is, okay, I wake up at 5 a.m., I go to the gym, I, you know, finish all that, I go to work, and I'm in 10 meetings the whole day, and I'm solving problems. Maybe that's how some people start slowly.
Yeah.
For some others of us, it's more about prioritizing what are the most important tasks for this week, and just focusing on that and letting the rest come as it comes, you know?
Yeah, let it flow.
Let it flow.
We'll go for a musical break. We'll come continue shortly. And if you just tuned in, you are listening to the one, the only talk radio station in Namibia and beyond, Eagle FM. We are your hosts for today. It's me, Abigail, and, you know, Ellie. I think I should have just said you are the co-host for
today.
Yeah,
I think just make me the co-host at this point. I feel like, you know, if the audience can really please advocate for me to be the co-host.
The co-host. Yeah, it sounds of Toni Braxton, Let It Flow. We'll see you on the other side of this one.
Crossover with Abigail.
every day. I know that I can count on you. When that's not possible, tell me, can you ever restore?
Cause I need somebody who will stand by.
Unconditional, I'm not asking just of you. Girl, to make it last, I'll do whatever needs to be done.
Seven past the hour of five, and of course we continue with the conversation. We're listening to New Edition, Can You Stand the Rain? And before this one, Toni Braxton also, you know, blessed us with her song that is titled Let It Flow. Yes, Let It Flow. Mm-mm-mm. It is a Sunday. Ellie, before you came in, I was, you know, talking about the rain.
Really?
Yes. I spoke to my dad before I came on air. And he was telling me, you know, it's raining. And the rain that is raining, it's that type of rain that does not stop.
Wow. Where is this? Because can Zambezi. It come? Zambezi is so blessed when it comes to the rain. And yes. I love some rain. So I really wish it was raining more in Windhoek.
Yes. Yes. But one thing I know is that it is going to start raining at some point in Windhoek, because usually rain in Windhoek falls from February.
That's true.
And when it starts, we will come back here on and come complain about the same rain.
We will. I don't want, what I don't want is those flash floods, because they cause
so much damage
and so many people are affected. So if it can just rain gently, I will be very happy.
And you know, this rain, especially the rain for this rain season, it's a lot.
Mm.
Like it's really a lot. So people should just brace themselves in terms of damage and loss and all that.
Man.
Yes, because it is going to be a lot. Last year when the Meteorological Service released their rainfall predictions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they predicted that some parts, and I know some parts, Windhoek is also involved.
Okay.
Is also included in those some parts. Like the rainfall is really going to be so much, a lot. Yes. So
let's brace ourselves, everybody.
But we need the water. At the end of the day, we really do need the water in Windhoek. We all know that we cannot survive on, I don't know. There's just something about being on air and just English, just, you know.
It's not English in air.
You know, the English I speak off air and the English I speak on air, it's two totally different types of English. I don't know what usually happens.
I think I might have a theory, right? Maybe you're just very comfortable on air. So, you know, like, you know, the English that you speak on air might be that comfortable English that you would speak to a friend, because that's just how comfortable you are.
Isn't my listeners are my friends?
Yeah, I think that might be it, because you feel like you're chatting to, you know, a girlfriend and your buddies. So maybe that's why I would theorize.
Probably, because I don't know. It's like when I'm on air, the English that comes out of my mouth, it's unbelievable. And I'll be like, what is going on?
It's not the private school English you are used to.
Not the one from Zambezi region. Now, moving on to, you know, moving on. You see?
I see. No, just continue. You're a trained media personality. Don't worry. Your audience knows.
So moving on with our conversation, would you recommend tackling the hardest task first, or starting with ease wins, to build momentum?
So, right. And I'm such like a productivity fanatic, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like I just enjoy listening to people who speak about how to increase productivity and all these things and reading books. I'm sure people have already started their book clubs for the year. Mm-hmm, they're reading Atomic Habits and all that stuff. But yeah, so I think with this question, it's really subjective. I think it depends on who you are as a person and the kind of productivity that works best for you.
Yeah.
So I think, we've heard of the concept, eating the frog first, right? Which just means tackling the biggest task that you have first.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that works for some people. Like it really works well, because what you do is, especially for people like myself who procrastinate a lot, it really helps to do the most daunting and the most difficult task first, because whatever is left is manageable compared to that. And you can kind of will yourself into believing that, okay, if I could do that big task, I can do all these small tasks as well. So that works for some people, but for other people, it's way easier for them to just do small things because it helps them get into the momentum, right? The moment I've done, like, let's say, for example, I've once used a strategy before where if you want to be more productive, right, even if it's just in terms of your daily routine, you try to start with the items which feel like the easiest for you, right? If let's say you maybe want to get more fit or whatever the case is, like you can say, okay, you know what? My first items for each day will be, I'm going to do a 10-minute stretch and I'm going to, let's say I'm going to eat an apple because I want to be healthy.
Yeah.
And those are the things that are easiest for you to do. It's easier for you to then get into the momentum of things and feel like, okay, I've already ticked two things off my list to do today. That means that I already have gained momentum and it's easier for you to continue, because sometimes those small wins help you to prepare yourself for the bigger wins or for the bigger challenges. So I feel like it depends on who you are. And I feel like it's important that you know as a person, what are your natural patterns? Are you a procrastinator? Someone who would need to maybe finish the biggest task first so that they can, you know, be able to do everything else after? Mm-hmm. Or are you that
sorry
person?
Sorry to interrupt you. Of course. I see our telephone is blinking.
Wow.
I don't think I took long to answer you though. You can come back 0832888401. You may carry on.
I'm sorry, audience. Please call back. Please call back.
Okay. They are calling back. Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
Mm.
Yeah.
How's
it
going?
Yes. Myself, I can't hear you here. At Bukalo.
Oh, is the app not playing?
Yeah, since the program started, I can't hear. I'm trying.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to report that as soon as possible.
Yeah, I hope you have been knowing me. It's Vanjie Njema.
Yes, definitely. I know the voice. I know the voice from my listeners, that's for sure.
We're in the darkness now.
Is it? But did you try to restart it and nothing still?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right. No, thank you so much.
Welcome, Sissy.
All right.
That's a very interesting predicament.
You know, so sad. And that's a listener like all the way from Zambezi.
My goodness. So they're trying to listen via the app.
Yes,
so do we, is there any way we can confirm whether other people who are listening via the app also can't hear?
Let me just quickly ask on the group. But I think in the meantime, you may continue.
Yes. Okay. I lost my train of thought. But yes, like I was saying, it's very important to know what your productivity type is, what might work for you. And if you don't know yet, that's fine as well. I think you can start by trying both, right? Try both techniques. Try starting with the smaller things first during your day and see if that makes you more motivated to continue and to do the bigger task for the day. Mm-hmm. If that doesn't feel like it works for you, if you feel like it still just feels tedious and you still just feel like you're too mentally fatigued, try the reverse, you know, set priorities for the day. What are the biggest tasks? What is the one thing that you need to do today? You need to finalize today. Mm-hmm. See if you can do that first. And if you've done that, if you feel better about doing the other things, then that might be the better way for you. So I think it's always one of those things where it's not a one size fits all approach. Everyone has to find their own rhythm, but both techniques definitely work just for different people.
Mm-hmm. So how can we maintain some of that holiday peace of mind instead of immediately letting work stress consume our personal time again?
Wow. That's a very important question, right?
Yes.
Especially for most of us. Some of us, we wear our work on our shoulders and on our head. We carry it everywhere. It infringes on our personal time so much. So I think what's best is, in order for you not to stress yourself out, especially at the beginning of the year, you need to set some very good boundaries in terms of your work day, right? So I try my best to do this. But even simple things like deciding if you have a normal 9-to-5 or 8-to-5 work schedule, try your best to tell yourself, you know what, I'm not going to be attending to emails or communications relating to work outside of my free time, unless it's during my overtime hours. Even just that mental boundary helps you a lot because you're not thinking about work except for during the hours where you really need to be concerned with it. And I know some people really struggle with it, especially with responding to communications beyond office hours, or a lot of people actually take their work home with them and they say, okay, you know what? I didn't manage to finish this thing that I had on my to-do list during the work day. So I'm going to do it after hours. And it just continues to be a cycle that you cannot break. So I think since we are already starting with a new year, start with new boundaries and see what is realistic for you. If it's setting boundaries on emails or responses, then that's what you do. If it's telling yourself that, okay, even if let's say I do go beyond my means and I go above and beyond for work, I need to set my rest time very intentionally so that I'm able to make sure that whatever I've lost, all the energy I've lost because I have allowed extra work to get onto my lap, I'm going to reward myself with more rest time so that I'm able to make up for it. So I feel like boundaries is the biggest thing that will really help us manage our personal and work lives a lot better. So I think each of us can find our own rhythm in terms of what exactly that looks like. What are the boundaries that you can set? And if you're not great at setting boundaries, like I am, sometimes I really struggle with enforcing my boundaries, especially when it comes to work, because like I said, I'm a productivity fanatic. I want to make sure that I felt like I was productive. Then what else you can do is try your best to have external, you know, things that help you stop work, even if it's someone that holds you accountable, right? Like an accountability partner that we have for other things. Have that one friend or one colleague or whoever it is that will nudge you and say, yo, Ellie, I see you've been working beyond your hours more, or you've been, you know, doing a lot more work related things, and we don't really see you as much as we used to, or we don't really engage with you in this way. And they can tell you, hey, I think it's time to slow down, because sometimes you need it coming externally if you can't set those boundaries internally for yourself. So create some kind of system that will help you keep in check and make sure that you don't get burned out or you have less time for your personal development, because it's very important, honestly.
So what are three small micro habits listeners can implement today to get their sleep and energy levels back on track?
Micro habits, that's a very interesting concept. You know, it's it sounds like something that, you know, is easy. And that's what the idea is for micro habits. It's supposed to be something that it shouldn't be too daunting for you to do. And I feel like one of those things is just like being more intentional about your lifestyle, right? For example, things like the amount of sleep that you get. Literally just adjusting your sleep schedule so that it's perfect for you, that you get the right amount of sleep every night. That's already one hack. That's a micro habit, because you don't really have to, except for obviously at the beginning, it might be hard. Some of us, we find ourselves doom scrolling and watching series at all times of the night. But it's a habit that you can easily implement. So that's one. Another important one is our phones, hey? Our phones, even though we don't realize it, they take away so much from the benefit that we can get in terms of productivity. Because the more time you spend on your phone, especially if you're spending screen time late in the evenings, you are more likely to either go to bed later, or even if you go to bed at the same time, your brain takes a lot longer for you to wind down. And so what then happens is that you get worse quality sleep. I think there's many studies that are available on how screen time affects, you know, your sleep schedule and ultimately also affects your energy levels for the next day.
I have a question there.
Okay.
Right there.
Tell me.
is the effect long term or how? Because I think for me, I think it's a natural thing. My brain just doesn't shut down just like that, you know. So I always have to give myself like an hour. So I know if I want to sleep at 10, I'll have to probably put my phone down at 9.
Exactly.
So from 9 to 10, my brain is just trying to find that moment where it shuts down.
Exactly.
Is that the effect of, you know, screen time all? Because for me, I feel like it's just naturally for me, my brain, because I have seen my friend, I have two friends, they will sleep while you're talking to them on the phone.
Oh my goodness.
And I never understood that, like, how does it happen? I'm talking to you and the next thing I'll just realize that, okay, this person is probably sleeping, because I'll just be there. I'll be like, hello. Are you there? Hello. Then I'll just realize, no, this person has slept.
Oh, goodness. I think unique. That's a unique situation.
No, I'm telling you.
Yes, there is a certain, to a certain extent, yes, it's a natural thing for your brain to take longer to wind down. But I think it's also because of how much stimulation we have during the day. And it's not necessarily just the phone. It's everything else. Like, we live such overstimulating lives.
Yes.
It's constant noise. It's constant exposure. Like, there's so much that happens around us that I think that's why our brains take a lot longer. I'm sure people who live a different lifestyle from us, who live more minimalistic lives, have less exposures. I'm sure they probably wind down a lot easier than us. But the screen time thing that you've implemented is literally the most important thing. It's what I would want most people to implement, even myself, because I also struggle with it a lot. Because ultimately, if your brain doesn't get that wind down, because sometimes there are people who just shut down, right?
Yes.
And that's not healthy either, because your brain went from 100 to 0 in such little time. So it doesn't mean that necessarily because you fall asleep faster that you get better quality sleep. Your brain does need that time to slowly unwind,
shut down,
and then shut down. So the screen time thing is, it's quite controversial. Some people say it affects them. Other people feel like it doesn't. But I think it's because we've normalized it. We've normalized that blue screen light. And like I said, there's a lot of studies that link, you know, so many things to so many problems that we have in the modern day age with mm-hmm. that screen time that we get yes. that is increased. So that's one of the micro habits that I would implement. And I'm so glad you did it because I think you should tell the listeners how you've implemented it because it's so hard for a lot of us. And some people will argue and they'll say, you know what? I think I need my phone because my phone is what helps me wind down. I watch like relaxing videos or I, you know, whatever it is. And they'll try to make excuses for it. But mm-hmm. ultimately there's better things that you can do in that time. Maybe you can read a book, a physical book.
Yeah.
Or you can use it to do something that's less stimulating so that you're filling in that time and you fall asleep much better.
Mm-hmm.
That ultimately helps your energy levels. And like I said also before, light exposure, natural light. Like there's literally days, and I've experienced this in real time.
Mm-hmm.
I will have days where I'm so tired, especially when I'm, you know, having very busy like work schedules and I don't really take time intentionally to be outside. I will be like, why am I so tired? And I'll realize I haven't literally just been in the sunlight for no, like just intentionally, just mm-hmm. time that I'm spending in natural light. I'm so constantly used to artificial light mm-hmm. that I don't even realize it.
Yeah.
But that natural light, it really does something for your brain. That's literally how you're wired. Your brain only perceives natural light as the reminder that, okay, we are up, it's daytime, we need to get going. So mm-hmm. those are some very small things that you can implement. Some other people might say, you know, you should eat better. The diet is obviously very underrated.
Yeah.
Eating healthier really helps you because things like sugar and caffeine, as much as, you know, it helps some people stay energized during the day,
mm-hmm.
they always say, ideally, you want to have your last cup of coffee before the mid-afternoon if you want to be able to sleep better at night and so that doesn't affect your energy levels. It's kind of the same with sugar. Mm-hmm. All these things ultimately affect the way that our bodies work, and long-term, it does affect our energy levels. So I think these are some of the things that we don't really think are as important, but even just changing out one of those things that I've mentioned today might make a big difference for you in terms of energy levels.
Yeah, because I really, really used to get jealous with people who just, you know, shut down and sleep just like that.
No
hustle, no struggle, nothing. And I've also really been, I also used to wonder, like, is this normal? Because one of my two friends who can sleep when you're talking to them on the phone, she even told me that no matter how stressed she is, mm. she's going to sleep like mm. normally, unbothered.
Wow.
Whereas I can't sleep if I'm stressed. Like I will try. I'll even think of good moments and whatsoever. I will just not sleep. So I used to wonder like, okay. And I'll get jealous in the moment.
Mm.
I wish I could also sleep.
Yes.
On the phone call.
I wish I could also just sleep. You know, how are you sleeping when I'm talking to you? Like I'm literally speaking and you are getting into a deep sleep.
I can't say if it's normal because I'm not a sleep expert. It might be normal for one person and not normal for another, but
maybe.
I can, from my perspective, it doesn't sound very normal for someone to just, like their brain sleep. To just shut down yes. instantly. I might be a bit worried, but again, everyone's normalcy is different. As long as it doesn't affect your yeah. everyday life, like as long as you're not falling asleep in the middle of a productive day or whatever, I think you'll be fine. If it's at the end of the day, then maybe that's just how your brain works.
Yeah, because you actually reminded me of this other story that I know of. It's my brother's friend, mm-hmm. my young brother's friend. So I didn't understand why that guy quit like university and go back home.
Mm-hmm.
And it never crossed my mind to actually ask my brother like, no, but why did your friends quit, mm-hmm. you know, tertiary to go back home? And I don't know what was happening that day. I just happened to remember like, no, you have a friend who quit and he's home.
Mm-hmm.
Then I asked him, why did your friend quit school again to go back home? And then he was like, no, he has a condition. It's like, what condition? Apparently he just falls asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So even during like lectures, yes.
Wow.
Like he just falls asleep. You could be sitting talking to him. He's asleep. I was so shocked.
That is shocking.
And I was so disturbed.
That is unfortunate because I'm sure it's debilitating. I'm sure it's hard to live like yes. that lifestyle because I'm sure even if he really wants to stay awake,
yes.
he can't help
it. No, he can't. So he just like he would be sitting there. The next thing you just see, the person is like literally sleeping while sitting.
I'm sure it's a deeper issue. It's probably something that is deep-rooted, something either that has to do with his brain or maybe just something that has to do with, it has to be something.
It has to be
it
something.
It has to be
definitely.
A response to something. It has to be, it can't be normal in any way, especially because now it's affecting his everyday life. So
yes.
These are the kind of people that you wish we had more experts like these who can actually help these people find ways to cope, right?
Yeah. And the thing is that I didn't even question further because that the response on its own, like it really just disturbed me. So I didn't even go further to ask, okay, did he seek professional help or something like that? Because the reason why he even just quit school and went back home is because the results, like that first year, it was bad. So it's like, oh, it's never going to work. Oh, just go back home.
No, he would have really needed some intervention because I'm sure there's some remedies, there's some interventions that could ultimately have allowed him to finish, even if he's not necessarily back to 100%. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's ways that he can be worked with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate. That's
very
really
unfortunate.
I think we should find out if there's, you know, a way that he can get some kind of
professional
help.
Probably I should go back to my brother and go ask more questions because I just stopped asking questions when he explained to me why the guy, you know, quit school and went back home. I was like, because now I just started imagining things like, okay, like how does he live?
It definitely would affect anything that he does.
Yes, anything.
So,
because it's out of his control.
It's out of it. No, it has to be a neurological thing or
yes,
it has to be
motor stuff in the brain, something.
There has to be something.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It is 5:30, the hour of 5. That's the good thing about me and Ellie. We will talk. We will talk. That's for sure. Now moving to the next point. Is it helpful to start planning your next break right away? Or does that just make the current grind feel harder?
So, you know, I'm this person that is, I always like to give out disclaimers that I'm a very avid devil's advocate. By that I mean, every question that I'm asked, I feel like there's two sides to it, right?
Yeah.
So again, with this question, I'm going to say, I feel like there's two sides to it. So there's a side where, yes, I think for me, and I'll be honest, I've already scheduled my next break. And I'll tell you, it's true.
Wow.
I've already scheduled my next break and I think it helps me because there's a few things that I learned as I was, you know, going through my work life. And I realized that we schedule so many things that are not even as productive. Like we schedule, you know, apart from work-related skills, things, we schedule appointments, we schedule everything except for our rest.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? The one thing that you actually need and that your body constantly needs,
yes,
you don't really schedule it. You wait until the time is right or until your boss agrees or until, you know, whatever other external things, but internally it's not on your schedule. And what I realized is because a lot of times, especially when the year gets going, I have such a very hectic schedule. I have a lot of things to do constantly. And I realized that these things that are on my schedule are the things that I consider as a priority.
Mm-hmm.
So what that's telling my brain is I haven't put rest on my schedule because it's not a priority. And that's a very dangerous thing for your brain
very.
To believe. And that's why I end up having so many episodes of fatigue and, you know, whether it's end year, it's mid year, I feel like I'm always fatigued.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I've decided I'm going to do differently this year. I'm going to schedule my breaks and it doesn't have to be a big break. It doesn't mean that I'm going on vacation every month or anything. It can even just be a day where I'm intentional about saying, you know what, this day is specifically about rest. I'm not going to schedule anything else, not seeing friends. I'm not doing anything that I don't feel like makes me feel rested for a day. Or for some people, it might not be a day. It might be a portion of the day, just something that reminds you and is intentionally set for you to rest. So that's my side of things. And I feel like for me, what works is trying to have a rest break that I'm going to look forward to every quarter after the end of every quarter. So that's every 3 months. I have at least, even if it's not a day, if I can do more, I will do a weekend, or if I can have time away from work, I will do more days. But every quarter, at the end, I have some time that I'm looking forward to that I'm going to rest. That helps my productivity because at least I know that I'm not going on forever. Because imagine like we just had the festive break, which a lot of people look forward to. But imagine looking at it from the perspective of being in January and thinking my next break is at the end of the year. That is not a good message for your brain. Eventually, you're going to feel tired and burnt out. So it's good to have those scheduled breaks for yourself, just so that your brain also knows, you know what, I'm working hard, but I'm eventually going to have a break that's already in, I can see it, it's in sight, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, I don't want people to use this as like kind of picturing it like it's a reward at the end of your work, because sometimes it can become dangerous because then you feel like you are forcing yourself through the work days just so that you can eventually get to this one break. So that's not how I want the mindset to be. But my mindset is more just prioritizing rest as much as I prioritize work. If that means scheduling it, then that's what it is. Mm-hmm. For other people, scheduling it doesn't really work. Maybe it's counterproductive for them. Maybe they feel like the moment that they have a scheduled break, then their brain is just thinking of the break.
Yeah.
They just, you know, not
the
getting.
The brain can't wait.
Oh, the brain can't. The, in fact, the brain is already in holiday mode. If I say, you know what, in March, I'm taking a break for 3 days.
Yeah.
Then my brain is already in March thinking about holiday mode. And that can be counterproductive. So it depends on your productivity and what works best for you. But I do think that it would be beneficial to most people to at least have scheduled rests sometime during the year.
Mm-hmm. I think I fully agree with you, and you have actually just given me an idea because I'm also one person who never thinks about holiday, right? Like, I don't think about holiday. I think the only time probably I will like go on holiday is if I'm going for a funeral.
Oh, that's a dark, dark thing.
Yes, like I don't, but you have just given me an idea. You know, I think I'm going to schedule at least even 2 days break, you know, 3 days break, just to rest and do nothing. I am definitely going to do that.
I'm excited for you.
Yes, because it really sounds, you know, it sounds like it will help you as an individual in terms of, as much as we cannot, stay away or avoid, you know, burn out, fatigue. But I feel like when you take breaks, you also delay, you know, your body feeling fatigued.
Exactly.
Or experiencing a burnout.
Yes.
So.
Yes. You want to create a sustainable cycle for yourself.
Yes.
You know, something that you can keep up. The moment you are exerting yourself more than you are resting, that's when fatigue comes in.
Mm-hmm. But I also think it also depends on the type of work you do.
Yes.
Because this type of work, to be honest, it's like, it's not a lot of hours.
Oh, you have the flexibility, hey?
You know, like the hours are not that much. So also for you to even think about a break, you somehow feel guilty like, okay, but what am I going to do with the break? Because I don't work for longer hours.
I hear you, right? And I have a rebuttal for what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, I think Abigail is trying to get us to become radio personalities because she's here promoting her job, like she has flexibility. So maybe we should all consider it. But I think my rebuttal to that is that I feel like it doesn't matter what kind of work you do. There is a certain mental load that you carry just because it's work time. For example, let's say you maybe don't work, you know, a lot of hours. Maybe you work, let's say even if you work half day, right?
Yeah.
There are certain things that you still can't do because you know that you're going to work the next day. Do you get what I'm saying? There's like a mental load that you still carry.
Yes.
So that's what I'm more speaking about. I'm more talking about trying to allocate time where that mental load, you let it down for a while and you really just focus on rest. Because even if you don't work hours that are like as many as the average person, or you don't feel like you're always mentally exhausted, mentally that still takes a toll on you. So that's, I think that's something that we should consider.
Well, I hear you. That's for sure. I hear you. And of course, last but not least, as an employee.
Yes.
What advice would you give, you know, to managers on how they can support their teams who may struggle with low energy this week?
So I can't speak for managers because, like you said, I'm an employee.
It's an advice. You know, now you put yourself in the shoes of employees and you have low energy.
Yes.
And the manager probably picks it up. What would you be your advice to that manager?
Okay. So again, without fully understanding the burden that is on managers, because I'm sure they also have their own burdens.
Yes.
I think it's just important, one, to acknowledge the fact that when employees come back to work, it's a transition period, right? Mm-hmm. So they are naturally going to be taking things much slower. They're not going to be able to hit the ground running, most of them.
Yeah.
So there's just that knowledge already. It lowers your expectations as a manager as well. And it allows you to be more flexible in mm-hmm. the expectations that you have, right? So that's one. But two, I think something that I would say, you know, as a manager, I think when I think of a manager, I think of someone who manages people, right? Mm-hmm. Not manages workload, not manages. It's not just about the tasks, it's about the people. So as a manager, I think it doesn't hurt for you to check in at the beginning of the year with your employees. And I know it's not always realistic in terms of timelines, mm-hmm. but just to understand what is the capacity of your employees at the start of the year. Some might have more capacity. And if those people have more capacity, maybe they are willing to take on a little bit more of the work. Mm-hmm. Others really might have very little capacity, because maybe you have people like Abigail who went to the village and they didn't rest much and they came back to work and they still feel like they're tired.
Yeah.
So maybe they need a little bit longer for them to ease into things. So just that knowledge that, you know what, I'm managing these people and these people have these kinds of challenges. How do I help them, you know, do work while still prioritizing, you know, slowly integrating into the work?
Mm-hmm.
So just checking in. And for me, what really helps is I'm a person of vision, right? So I like it at the beginning of the year if I can already set a vision for myself as mm-hmm. to what exactly am I looking towards for the year? Because it helps direct my steps. It helps me be motivated. So if managers can do that with their teams as well at the beginning of the year, I know some of us, we do have, you know, meetings at the beginning of the year, but most of them are more focused on talking about the goals for the year. What do we need to do? What did we not do last year?
Mm-hmm.
But in that same vein, we can just realign the vision to say, okay, what is it? Why are we doing what we are doing? You know, what is it that we have to look forward to so that you all have one vision as a team and you can actually be more productive at going towards that vision and trying to achieve it.
Yeah.
So I think that really helps that you're on the same page as your, you know, employees and the colleagues that you work with. And another thing that I would say, I think maybe to close off, is together with that shared vision, you know, that ideally we would want managers to elaborate, I think sometimes it's good, especially when you're at the beginning of the year and you have such little capacity. It doesn't work for every setting because obviously we all work in very different settings. But
mm-hmm.
sometimes, especially if you work in a more corporate type of environment, it helps if you know what the priorities are for this period, right?
Yeah.
Instead of maybe just being expected to pick up where you left off and continue doing everything
it's
you are
impossible.
Doing, which is impossible, like you said. Let's see what are the priority things that we really need to make sure these things are done, these things are done well. And ask your employees to rather focus on that and let the other things, obviously still important, but maybe we can do those things once we have made sure the priority areas are handled. So what that does is that it keeps people productive and focused, but it also doesn't burn them out too quickly. So
mm-hmm.
those are some of the tips that I would have when I speak to a manager. But really, I think at the end of the days, we are all people. Managers are people, employees are people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk to each other as people
mm-hmm.
so that we make sure that we're on the same page about everything. You know, you can't now come in and say, oh no, Abigail came back from holiday and all of a sudden she's slacking. But maybe you don't understand what's happening with Abigail. So those are just some of the things that I would say, you know, as a hopefully future managers, let's see.
Definitely, definitely we are heading that direction.
Exactly.
That's for sure. We are the future.
We are the future, Abigail.
Yes. So thank you so much for coming through. I don't know if you still have a thing or two that you'd like to leave the listeners with before I excuse you.
Excuse me.
Yes.
So yes, once again, I always like to reintroduce myself at the end. This is Eli Owanga speaking, right?
And is it Owanga?
Owanga, yes.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You should ask me how I've been pronouncing it.
Hey,
Owanga.
You know what? I was going to ask you after off air, but you know what? You just exposed yourself. Yes, it's Eli Owanga. That's the name. So what I want to leave everybody with is it's okay for you to feel like getting into the work year or even the year can be a bit daunting, right? Mm-hmm. Especially because sometimes we have so many expectations of ourselves. And you know what? I promised myself this year I would be consistent with this thing and I would start this thing. But you also have to understand that with a new year also comes a new beginning. So treat yourself as if you are starting kind of from scratch. You know, have grace with yourself, be patient with yourself. And I think what's more important, I think a lot of people focus on big goals, right? I want to make big progress, significant progress. But I think what's better than making a big jump in terms of progress is doing some small things consistently. Because mm-hmm. ultimately, at the end of the day, you're going to have more progress by doing one small thing every day consistently than if you try to make one big leap and are not able to sustain it at the end of the day. So that's more what I want people to focus on. Micro habits. And I think people who are reading the book Atomic Habits would also know Atomic Habits is another word that's used for this. Mm-hmm. Small things, doing them consistently over a period of time, you will definitely see the difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for coming through from my side. I'd like to wish you a very productive 2026.
Oh, thank you so much, Abigail.
You're starting work tomorrow?
Yes.
Yes. I wish you, all the energy you can gather.
Thank you.
For tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
So yeah, till next time.
I hope I'll come back not too long. Yes. I don't want to stay away for too long this year. I want to try to be better. But thank you so much for having me. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much to your audience and to everybody that's part of the team. I hope that we're all going to have a really productive week ahead and that we continue doing the best that we can.
Well, thank you so much. We will go for a break. Let me also excuse Ellie. She has to go and prepare. Tomorrow is her first day at work.
Oh, my goodness. Don't remind me.
From me, we'll come continue on the other side. We have adverts, and after that, we'll have sounds of Phil Collins' True Colors.
Rande soli evulio mponga sana. Kora keneni matungi mwa Namibia mwana mkunda doko mambo. Elie divi solio mwuri oktundira kwa ministeri wa unandima, marunonege mefuta, memane wapo kororevu. Kora keneni na wano kulitamba ya kambudiezi kumonoane koroveni, kama parambo na waka umi. Hagekeni suruga na sokura ndesa nokura ndaevu ulio mponga sana. Morwa singe, morwa evu ulio mponga sana mwa Namibia evu ule pangero, kani kwa tokulira ndesa mwankedi nkeni. Kulihame sila masuruga na sokura ndesa ndikura ndaevu, kapi ya polisira. Weta ze wapo kurevu ryo mkunda heziva na kutumburasi act number 5 of 2002 kwa silika hivi ya ukayangosna. Matenge kogo irugana vatura kupolisira yerande suevu. Matenge kogo paveta. Vadonga nesiveta angava futisa taningava za modorongo. Hedonga neso ryo mpora mkunda. Yerande so ndi yerando evu kuvura kulete sapo mapiro kulizuva ndi marwa nambo mwono mkunda deti. Yinke yono hepa kudiva. Evuli mponga sana ola natuwenye. Halioru none rokuli gavera, ornatu guwane namo natuwenye mawa. Tupungure ni upingwa wetu, pokufuma deka evuli mponga sana, ose kufuma deka mulio kono mpo detu, kani kupopera nkara pamoziki. Rapota hivya ukayapira kupulisira. Nsena sowe kuna kugaza rasi, kuna karapo, hiruga na irande soevu, hirapota kundango zorudi, ndango zevulo mponga sano, ndiko mbere wazo ministeri, hozakara la pepi nevango lyogi. Turuga nene kumwe, tukungeru none revule tulio mponga sano, tulikungire mhoko kukome. Uministeri kapna ukakara na unzoni, sena natukazumba nesa marunone gevu, mora hiruga na dona irande soevulo mponga sano. Diorokasi, evulo mponga sano mulio uneni, tulipo pere nino kulipungwira na veni. Mpandu keruga neno kumwe. Edivi sweli, lioko radio, kunali tulisa pone kwato sokolo pasmalu wa tundera kepangero losolongo sana Namibia, tani epangero la Germany, Pitera mo German Development Bank. Mogwana kwa mapuku rogomanzi, guwanekerano mbere wazo ministeri za karera pepi, ni wango lioge, ndiko mbere wazo inkayo nkara pamwe mu ministeri unandima, marunonege mefuta, memane wapo kuroevu, kono moraezi. Euta ntazimwe zimwe, mbali euta ntantatu, tambali ntazimwe euta ni. Rande so lievulio mponga sana. Pora kene ni matungi mwa Namibia mwana mkunda doko mambo. Elie divi soliomuli oktundira kwa ministeri unandima, maruno nege mefuta, memane wapo kororevu. Pora kene na wano kulitamba ya kambudiezi kumono wane koroveni, kama parambo na waka umi. Hagekeni suruga na sokura ndesa nokura ndaevu ulio mponga sana. Morwa singe, morwa evu ulio mponga sana mwa Namibia evu ule pangero, kani kwa to kulira ndesa mwankedi nkeni. Kulihame sila masuruga na sokura ndesa ndi kuranda evu, kapi ya polisira. Weta ze wapo kurevu ndio mkunda heziwa na kutumburasi act number 5 of 2002 kwa silika hivi ya ukayangosna. Matenge kogo iruga na vato ya polisira ya rande suevu. Matenge kogo paveta. Vadonga nesiveta angava futisa taningava za modorongo. Vidonga neso ndio mpora mkunda. Rande so ndie rando evu kuvura kulete sapo mapiro kulizuva ndi marwa nambo mwono mkunda detu. Yinke yono hepa kudiva. Evuli mponga sana ora na tuwenye. Halioru none rokuli gavera, ornatu guwane namo na tuwenye mawa. Tupungure ni upingwa wetu, po kufuma deka evuli mponga sana, ose kufuma deka mulio kono mpo detu, kani kupope rankara pamozitu. Rapota hivya ukayapira kupulisira. Nisena sowe kuna kugaza rasi, kuna karapo, hiruga na irande soevu, hirapota kundango zorudi, ndango zevuli mponga sano, ndiko mbere wazo ministeri, hozakara pepi nevango lyogi. Turuga nini kumwe, tukungeru none revuli tuli mponga sano, tulikungire mhoko kukome. Uministeri kapna ukakara na unzoni, sena natukazumba nesa marunone gevu, mora hiruga na dona irande soevuli mponga sano. Diorokasi, evuli mponga sano mulio unini, tulipopere nino kulipungwira na vini. Mpandu keruga neno kumwe. Hedivi sweli, lioko radio, kunali tulisa pone kwato sokole pasimali wa tundira kepangero lesoro ngusa Namibia, tani pangero la Germany, Pitera mo German Development Bank. Mugwana kwa mapuku rogomanzi, guwanekerano mbere wazo ministeri za karara pepi, ni wango lioge, ndiko mbere wazo inka yonkara pamwe mu ministeri unandima, marino nege mefuta, memane wapo kuroevu, kono moraezi. Euta ntazimwe zimwe, mbali euta ntantatu, tambali ntazimwe euta ni.
Kungirido con Karimo Keje, Eri Pevijaeje, Mona Mibia. Raka otaparandura etse ifo jasiman. Talizi ku ministeri wuna mapsa, ikwahi omea ne tenduroro jevi. Natulipura kene nawa, nukulita ambasana na negumbo aeje, ashinda no kume. Natukulisi po mkaro wakuranda no kurandiza evijaeje. Omo mashike mbera, oshoka, evijaeje mwa Namibia, evije pangiro, no itali vurunandi okurandizo akuchani omo mkaro woni. Okukusa ombinga mirandizo jevijaeje, oshirima shaharipa veta. Oveta etenduro jevijaeje, ovitonjintano yomvomo ovigari nambari, oyindika siru siru oshirima shika. Iranduli irandizo jevi shaharipa veta. Omagero opaveta, ona kuyona otashi vurika pewe egero jukufuta, nenge jonzorongo, okupia ganika umbiri moshiwana. Irandizo nenge okuranda evi jaehe, otashi vurika siete o tamana na levi, oshowo uumbanda moshiwana, shoka wapunga kutsea oshoshika. Evi jaehe, ojeto ni atuheni, ojo onzo mzoka zina okutoporirwa sana, no kuganja uwanawa kukehe umwe. Okupatira po uthiga wetu. Mokusimaneka evi jaehe, potatu ganja esimaneko John Kuruhevi vetu, no kugamine na po onzingoroko wetu. Lopota ume nyingo gali paveta. Una wanzindirike ushini kwa nima tashirimbirike, shanika ulingiringi wera mdito jevi jaehe, shiropota mbara kerero chupam finguru wakaro, keuri kongundumtima jevi jaehe, nenge kombile wa yu ministeri pope pinangoe. Naturongere ni kumwe, moku gamine nako onzo zetu zevi jaehe, morwa ushiwana shoko mongura. Koneka kucha, itashikakara ushina kukwadithwa shu ministeri, mekaniso kehejevi jahoroka onga oshizemo shiranizo jevi jaehe, jaharipa veta. Zimburu kwa, evi jaehe, uyamba wapumba. Naturigami ninepo nogulika rekapo, morwa uwa nawa wa keje gumwe. Irongiro kumwejoe otali pandurwa. Yetu mwara kandika Jopa Radio, ujarongikidwa ni ambilido jo shimariwa okuzake pangero jo Republika ya Namibia ne pangero jo Republika ya Ndoishi okupitira mumbanga yo mapendurepo yo KFW kuyirire wawedapo kwatafana nombere wayo ministeri popi pinangoye ninge ombere wayi pambere yoshiwana mu ministeri una matsa ikwahi omea ne tendururo jevi konomora yongodhi nora hamano imwe omirongo mbali omirongo hetatu na heri omirongo hamano none.
So my apologies. I seem to have repeated the same advent twice in a row. I don't know how I did that. And I couldn't, you know, like stop it just like that, you know. So apologies for that. And I have decided that we will only listen to the song that I was supposed to play after the advent in the first place. After when we go through, you know, a few tips on how you can have a smooth return to work after a holiday. So the first tip says that you need to start your morning well prepared. Having to get up early again will probably be hard enough. So set the breakfast table the night before and choose your outfit in advance. So that way you avoid stress even before you leave for work. Right? In this particular tip, that what I'm picking up is that, you know, usually what makes it hard for us to wake up in the morning is the fact that our sleeping schedule changes during holidays. During work hours or during the work period, you wake up probably 5 a.m. Now, because you're on holiday, you are waking up 9 or 10 a.m. So that can actually create a shift that will make you struggle so much when you return to the work routine to wake up early in the morning. So the tip or the advice is that you, if you know that you are going to have breakfast in the morning, you might as well just prepare the breakfast before you go to sleep and also choose an outfit in advance. So you are not struggling when you come from taking a shower after you have applied lotion. You are now wondering, what am I putting on? That is going to stress you, so you can avoid stress. The second tip or advice is to catch up with your colleagues. Your colleagues have undoubtedly been busy while you were enjoying your holiday. So you can ask them what happened in the office in the meantime. Is there any news about, you know, that one file? Did they have nice weather here too? If they were not in the office either, you can ask them what they have been up to so far. Another advice or another tip is to, you know, do not work through your emails chronologically. It seems logical to start by replying to the oldest emails. However, this is not efficient. After all, you may answer a question that was already answered 10 mails later by a colleague who was not on holiday. So avoid unnecessary, my apologies. I just see that my colleague had already replied to your question, emails, and start at the top of your inbox. This way, you may be able to delete some old emails because they have already been resolved. Moreover, some people have noted your out-of-office dates, which means their emails are at the top of your inbox. Right? And another tip or another advice is to choose quality over quantity. Don't get carried away with your mail. Trying to reply to everyone as quickly as possible can sometimes go wrong. So if you read too quickly and miss one question, you can expect a new email with the same question again. So yet another email on your stack of unread messages that you could have avoided. Therefore, take enough time to read a message completely. Another tip or advice is to make a to-do list. Now that you know which meetings are planned for the coming days and you have gone through your mailbox, it is a good idea to make a to-do list. Take a sheet of paper or a digital note and write down all your tasks. Organize them by priority or put the deadline. Then decide which task you need to do today and which one later in the week. However, don't take on too much right away. it takes a while to get back into it. So start with the small things. Another tip, another advice is to postpone non-urgent meetings. They are with your long to-do list and your mailbox full of urgent mails. So it is only logical that you would rather spend your time on that than on a long meeting. Therefore, try postponing non-urgent meetings until later in the week. And also eat healthy and exercise. Bring a healthy snack and lunch to the office to maintain your energy levels. Nutrition plays a big role in your concentration and productivity, as we all had early mentioned this part as well. So avoid sugary snacks and opt for fruit, nuts, or yogurt. Last but not least, allow yourself some breathing space. If you think you will be able to work 8 hours straight after 2 weeks holiday, you are wrong. Don't waste all your energy on your first day. The more collected holiday energy you save today, the smoother the rest of the week will go. So don't keep working too long in the evening either. Exhausting yourself on the first day is pointless. The first day may be a bit chaotic and you will undoubtedly feel homesick for that wonderful holiday. But before you know it, you will be back in your familiar rhythm. So do you not feel like returning at work? Then maybe it is time to think about a new job. So this was the conversation for today. It is a minute to the hour of six. And of course, this is where I say my lovely goodbyes to you. Until next Sunday, same time, same place. From me, Abigail, it is adios. So next Sunday will be the 25th of January. And it is going to be the last Sunday in the month of January. So from me till next Sunday, it is adios. Now leaving you with the sounds of Phil Collins, True Colors. Adios.
I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors. That's why I love you. So don't be afraid. Let them show your true colors, true colors, beautiful. You with the sad eyes, don't be discouraged, oh, I realize it's hard to take courage in a world full of people. You can lose sight of it.
And the darkness inside you makes you feel
so small.
And see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors. That's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors. True colors are beautiful, oh, like a rainbow. Show me your smile.
Show me your smile.
Don't be unhappy, can't remember when I last saw you laughing. When this world makes you crazy and you're taking all you can bear, just call me up because you know I'll be there. And see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors. That's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors. True colors, beautiful, oh, like a rainbow. Sad eyes,
change now. Realize that this will make you crazy. Be taking all you can be. Just call me up, because you know I'll be there. And see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors. That's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors. True colors. True colors are shining through. I see your true colors. That's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors. True colors. True colors. Beautiful. So beautiful. Like a rainbow. That's why I love you. Show me your colors.